Today we celebrate the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity. But what is a mystery? In works of fiction, a mystery, as we know, is often a puzzle of a crime that a detective has to solve, has to get to the bottom of the mystery. Well, this isn't what we mean when we speak of a mystery of the faith. When we speak of a mystery of the faith, as I've heard in many of your experiences, it's the thing that you say when you want a child to stop asking questions. Please, sir, what is the Trinity? How is it possible? Why? I don't know, kid. It's a mystery. Beat it. But of course, that's not really what mystery means in the faith. In the faith, when we speak of a mystery, it is something that, first of all, is a truth that is beyond the reach of our human reason by itself. For our human reason, as created by God, can indeed reach many things and discover many things on its own, including certain things about God, but not everything. And a mystery is, first of all, something that is beyond that reach, so that we could never discover it on our own. But then secondly, it's something that is so important for us to know, that God so desired for us to know, that He revealed it. He took off that veil. What we could not discover on our own, He told to us, so that now we have indeed learned what was beyond our grasp. But having been told this truth, it still is beyond our being master of it. It is too great for us to truly and completely comprehend it as if we are its master. But just for that reason, it's something that is so great that we can go back to it again and again. And again and again, we can turn to this mystery and be strengthened by it, nourished by it, consoled by it, constantly helped as we meditate again and again upon the mysteries of the faith. And the Catechism tells us that the mystery of the Most Holy Trinity is the central mystery of the Christian faith, because it is the mystery of God in Himself, that it is the source of all other mysteries, that it is the light that enlightens them. And so how appropriate that each year we take this Sunday to focus upon this central mystery of the faith. For over these last several months, we have celebrated the mysteries of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Son sent forth, became incarnate as man, was born, lived among us, suffered and died, rose from the dead, ascended to heaven, and then the Holy Spirit was sent forth on Pentecost to live within us and strengthen us. This is how the mystery of the Trinity was revealed to us. And so how appropriate that following the Sunday when we celebrate the mission of the Holy Spirit, we then turn in to focus upon the Trinity itself. We worship one God in three persons. Now, this does not mean that we worship one person who has revealed Himself in three different ways, or as it were, that we see with three different faces or three different masks. No, this early error is called Sabellianism or modalism. And it's not that it's just three ways of knowing one person, but that truly there are three persons. And yet at the same time, it is not that we worship three gods. That would be polytheism. And we are monotheists. We worship one God. Three persons, one God, one divine nature. And what distinguishes these three distinct persons from each other is not what we might see distinguishing human beings from each other. It's not being in different physical places. It's not different personality traits, different job skills, different strengths, different experiences, different goals and motivations. Not at all. For the three persons are truly united and always work together with one heart. But what really distinguishes the three persons from each other is the relationships that relate them to each other. And thus, the names of the three persons really are the correct names. For the Father begets or generates the Son. The Son is begotten of the Father. The Holy Spirit proceeds forth or is breathed forth by the Father and the Son. It is in these relationships that we see who and what they are. And in the revelation of the Trinity, the truth that we are created in the image of God takes on more light. For without that revelation, we could well understand that being made in the image and likeness of God could mean that we have rational intelligence, that we have free will, that we have creativity, and certain other things. But once we learn of this eternal relationship of infinite love between the three persons of the Trinity, then this focuses in upon the fact that part of being made in the image of God, perhaps the most important part, is that we are persons with the capacity for interpersonal relationship, to relate to other persons, and are called indeed to relate in a way that deepens into relationships that imitate those of the persons of the Trinity. Relationships of mutual self-giving love, of giving our whole selves and completely receiving the other in complete, perfect, mutual love. Sometimes the Trinity is spoken of as a divine family. And so perhaps this relates to the observation that I've seen at least one author make recently, that it seems that the impulse to faith and to religion sometimes comes from the family. And indeed, that seems to match the actual experience of many people and perhaps of you here. Perhaps you experience in yourself or you have seen in others that in a man and a woman entering into marriage and into parenthood, that in entering into that love and being drawn forward into a generous, unselfish love of being a spouse, being a parent, that the discovery and the experience of this love, so different perhaps than what they've experienced prior to this, actually draws them forward and points them toward the Lord, as well it should. Because in that moment, we find within ourselves something of that connection that actually connects us to what is going on within the Blessed Trinity. And so if that experience true love within ourselves draws us here, draws us to Mass, then actually we've come to exactly the right place. For here in the Mass, all three persons of the Trinity are at work. All three persons of the Trinity can be experienced. The Holy Spirit, indwelling you since your baptism, has drawn you here. And within your hearts, draws you forward to the altar. And here upon this altar, in just a few minutes, our Lord Jesus Christ will make himself present. God the Son, present in the fullness of who he is, his divinity, and his humanity. And upon this altar, he will be present in his sacrifice. The perfect offering of himself, his whole life brought to completion, offering himself in love to the Father as he did from all eternity, receiving everything from the Father, giving everything to him. Here, in the Mass, we are observers standing right in the heart of the Trinity, and actually much more than observers. We are participants. We are sharers. For in our baptism, we were united to Christ and adopted into his sonship. In the Mass, we are here not only to watch, but to share, to join our Lord Jesus in his sonship, in that receiving everything from the Father, in giving everything back to the Father in love. In our hearts, to be right there on the altar with him, entering into the mystery of the Trinity itself as sharers. And so we celebrate and enter into the mystery of the Trinity, that central mystery of our faith that strengthens us, that nourishes us, and that seeks to change us. Let us enter into it again and again. Let us receive what is infinite. Let us give ourselves completely. Come, let us adore him.